Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The True Crime Society podcast contains adult themes and violence and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. And if you'd like to skip the intro or move to any specific part of the podcast, please refer to the timestamps listed in the episode description. Thank you. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast. It's Stephanie and Olivia. It is our first episode of the year, technically. Woo-hoo. I mean, right now, we're still in 2024 as of recording, but this episode's for 2025. Yes, pre-Christmas. It's the 19th right now. Peep is in my lap. She is being a nuisance, as usual, because... the height that I have this chair at and, like, the height of the desk, she hardly fits in between, like, my lap and the bottom of the desk. So she's kind of smushed in here. But she's determined and she will not give up.
We just had some technical issues, which fits with how the year went. So just finishing off as we, you know, went on during the year.
Yeah, just a typical Windows update at the worst time when you don't want to update it.
And even though, like, usually it gives you the, usually it gives you the thing to not do it, but this one is like, you must do it now. I'm like, wow.
It's like, you've ignored it enough.
Anyway, first episode, I guess this is our last episode of recording for the year, but it will be our first episode back. So both exciting things.
Yes. So this is going to be the best year ever. We just know it.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because it is like two-ish weeks away till this episode comes out. So when we record next, we might have some big updates to share with you. Yeah, maybe already. It'll be like the second week of January by the time we record again, or into the first week anyway. So
I'll probably already be sick of 2025 2 days in.
Oh my goodness. I feel like 2025 should be a big year. It's scheduled to be a big year crime-wise. Anyway, we know that hopefully the Brian Koberger trial will happen. Lindsay Clancy's trial got scheduled as well for, I think, like 1st of December next year, this year, mm-hmm. when this comes out, 2025. So that we already know there's going to be a few big things hopefully happening of cases that we've covered before.
I'm sure Delphi will carry over because they're going to appeal.
And the sentencing for that is happening tomorrow. Real time. So the 20th of December. So we'll have to have some updates when we come back with that.
Oh my God, Peep. She just is not pleased with the sitting arrangement, I can tell. Oh, and now she's on the desk. Peep, she's rubbing on the microphone. Stop. Oh my God. No, we're not doing that. Come here. Hold on. I have to gather her. Get back in my lap. So do you guys do anything exciting for New Year's? Do you stay up late?
So we are actually heading away this weekend. We go away every single Christmas down to, we call it the South Coast. So it's like three and a half hours away. So just depending on the weather, we might stay down there for New Year's or we'll come back. But we generally don't do a lot. Like sometimes I'll stay up, sometimes. I guess Australia is one of the first countries in the world to actually turn over
True.
Into the new
You're
year.
Ahead.
Yeah, so here they do, Sydney always do big fireworks. They do a 9 p.m. fireworks and then a midnight fireworks. 9 p.m. they call it like the family fireworks, I guess, because kids stay up and watch cool. that. So sometimes I just stay up for the family ones, depending on what's happening. So I like essentially we have no plans. Our plans are generally we eat a lot of food and have some drinks and that's about it. We don't ever really go out or do anything much. So yeah, that's our current plan. The weather is looking amazing for Christmas and New Year, so hopefully it'll be nice and we can just sit out on the balcony and because where we go away is on the water, so it's really nice. So hopefully it'll just be a nice chilled out day. What about you?
Whenever you say it every year, a hot Christmas is so bizarre to me.
We were actually out by the pool yesterday because it was a really hot day.
Picks.
And I was trying to post a story on Instagram, and I found that Ronan Keating, who's like this, I think he's British from the old band Boyzone. He lives in Australia now. Anyway, this is like off on a tangent, but he has remade Winter Wonderland into a song, Summer Wonderland. And he's added all like Australian things, and it's like, not a snowman in sight.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I had never heard it before. It made me laugh.
New Year's, I don't know, it depends. We used to like go out and do stuff or go to friends, but now that we're elderly, sometimes I'll go to my sister's, hang out with them, but it's not like a big crazy party. We'll drink, play some games, hang out. But now they have a little baby, so I mean, he goes to bed, but they might. Who knows? I don't have a plan yet. Hopefully I did something fun and had a nice time.
We'll be able to update next episode.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode, we just wanted to preface. We're going to be talking about Hannah Kobayashi. So we did these episodes on Patreon in real time. And then since it's become kind of like a case that a lot of people are interested in, there's a lot of talk about it, we decided we're going to put them all together because we did like updates, and we'll make one big episode for everyone else who's not on Patreon. So as we go through it, just keep in mind this has been recorded in different episodes in real time, different parts. So we're talking about it as the news is current. So when we're talking about like the first part, she hasn't come back to the US yet, which in the end she does if you've followed the story. So just keep that in mind if you're like, wait, why are they saying that? Like, she did this already. We don't know that at the time.
Yeah, we started doing updates or episodes on Patreon for Hannah basically pretty much as soon as we found out that she was missing. So at one point, if you're not familiar with the story, Hannah was a woman. She flew from Hawaii to LA, and she was meant to go straight on to New York. She didn't make the flight. She kind of vanished. And like, so that's the point that we started at. We didn't know anything else beyond that. And then as like the case went on for around probably five, almost 6 weeks. So we do updates every single week. So it's chronological. And at the time we discussed the information that we knew, and now we obviously know the ending, and we'll get to that in the end, but it is, yeah, a chronological discussion of what we knew at the time.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. A stunning twist in the case of missing tourist Hannah Kobayashi. Cops say new surveillance footage shows Hannah crossing the U.S. border into Mexico of her own accord.
In a shocking turn, police say Hannah came here to Union Station in downtown Los Angeles, presented her passport, and bought a bus ticket to San Ysidro, California. Hannah then walked across the border into Tijuana, Mexico.
We reviewed video surveillance from U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which clearly shows Kobayashi crossing the United States border on foot into Mexico. She was alone with her luggage and appeared unharmed.
Incredibly, police say the surveillance video shows Hannah crossing the bridge into Mexico on November 12th. That's 3 weeks ago, but they only just discovered the surveillance footage. The 30-year-old flew into LAX on November 8th and missed her connecting flight to New York. Hannah's grief-stricken father, Ryan Kobayashi, tragically took his own life 9 days ago, jumping from this parking garage near LAX. Today, Hannah's aunt told us Hannah never mentioned any plans to travel to Mexico. My worry for Hannah has not lessened. She's created this new missing flyer that's in both Spanish and English. I spoke with former LAPD Detective Moses Castillo, who was helping the family look for Hannah.
Police say she didn't have her phone, so is it possible that Hannah doesn't know her father took his own life?
Yeah, so we don't know whether or not she has any clue that her father has died. If she does, she may be going through some grief of her own. The family is very supportive of her and wants her home.
Police are not classifying Hannah as a voluntary missing person, but they are urging her to contact her family.
All right. And then we are going to be talking about Hannah Kobayashi today. She is a 31-year-old woman who went missing in Los Angeles after flying there from Hawaii with the intention of then flying to New York, but she never made the connecting flight. This one, a lot of people have been talking about online because it's very strange. There's a lot of different things going on. Very mysterious. And I guess we'll get into that. So.
So her social media, especially her Instagram, is still public. I've linked it all on the blog if you want to go and check it out. She does seem quite alternative, maybe a little bit quirky, very artistic. That's the vibe I got from her, her social media. So if you want to check out the posts, especially like there's more posts on her Instagram than you can see on Facebook. So her handle is Midori Eve, MIDORIEVE on both. So you can check her out. But yeah, lots of like there's fire twirling. It says, like her bio says, artist here to stoke your healing and creative journey. And yeah, so check out her Instagram if you want to get an idea of what she's like.
Seemed like she was into like EDM, house music, going to festivals, things like that.
Yeah. So a lot of it in this case, like there is a kind of a confirmed timeline, but there's also a lot of online discussion and some of the information we have gathered from that and not from such official sources as such. I feel like the family are probably holding a lot back to protect her privacy, which I absolutely understand. But it's kind of like almost we are getting half the story sometimes. So we've had to fill in the blanks where we can with information that we've found that isn't kind of released officially. And we'll kind of note that as we go along too.
Yeah, there's definitely more to this story and some parts aren't really elaborated on where you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like and like even, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
At the start. Like,
as we go along, we'll kind of point out those bits that we mean in terms of, you know, what we're talking about here.
From what we've gathered from online posts, Hannah was supposed to, well, she did go on it with the ex-boyfriend, right? This is like the confusing part.
Yeah.
So she was going on this trip with her ex-boyfriend, which sounds weird. I don't know if they booked it when they were together, maybe.
Yeah. From what I've read online, like this is what I mean. These are the kind of things that were put together. They were both on the flight from Hawaii to LA, and then they were meant to both travel to New York. Apparently they didn't sit together. Like there's photos online of their boarding pass and seats and things like that. So I believe that it must have been booked when they were still together. They were still taking the trip, but I don't
believe. But not like together.
No. And I don't believe once they got to New York, they were going to still be hanging out together. I think they just had the flights booked and I guess they decided to both still go.
Yeah. So she left Hawaii on an American Airlines flight. It was AA254 at 2:38 p.m. on Friday, November 8th. And like Olivia said, there's screenshots of the tickets and the itinerary. Someone did comment in, there's a Facebook group about this, and said, I was under the impression that she was seen by her ex on the flight. I didn't know that they were actually traveling together. Something happened on the first leg that caused her to abort mission with him. The last sentence is just their opinion, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So like one of the screenshots is the seats and he was in 32D and she was in 32F. So I don't know. Obviously, it depends on the plane configuration, but they're in the same row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the flight landed at LAX at 9:54 p.m. and Hannah was seen on CCTV getting off the flight at 10:03. At 11 p.m., Hannah's ex, who's named Amon Miranda, got on the flight to New York as planned, but Hannah did not. This is where I have questions. Like, was the ex at all? Like, where is she? You know?
Yeah. Like, I would like to know more about their relationship.
Like, were they
like,
not
were they
speaking at all?
Amicable? Yeah. Like, wouldn't you be like, where are you going? Or like, I don't know. It sounds to me like either she gave a reason to him for not getting on the flight, or they weren't speaking. Basically.
Yeah. But it's like, even if I wasn't speaking to someone and they missed the flight, I feel like I'd still be like, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe not if I really hated them or something. So she was due to have a 42-minute gap between landing in LA and then catching the flight to New York City. But instead of just waiting, she left the airport instead. And there's stills from the CCTV of her at the airport. She's wearing tie-dye leggings or sweatpants, black hoodie. Just looks like an average person at the airport. On Saturday, November 9th, Hannah was seen twice at the Grove Mall in LA since she left the airport. According to USA Today, she was seen once around noon by employees at the shopping center's bookstore on November 9th and was seen on video at a Nike event around 3:40 p.m. on November 10th. A photo from the two-day Nike and LeBron James event was posted to her Instagram the same day. So even though she like missed her flight, she's still posting on Instagram out on the town.
So the post, it's the last post on her Instagram if you want to go and check it out. And basically her caption was an eye. It says she's tagged herself City of Angels, Los Angeles. But what the photo is it looks kind of like, I don't know, when you go to an event and like, you know, they tell you you've been filmed, like it says, you know, by basically you're consenting by reading this sign that you might be filmed. And it says Nike's proceeding in reliance upon this notice and your consent in connection with its production activities here. If you do not wish to give such consent, do not enter this area. If you do come into the range of the camera or the sound recording equipment, you will be deemed to have consented to this notice and waived any and all claims you may have. So a lot of people have discussed that as if she seemed like to post that specific image and it's just got someone's legs underneath. Like that's it. It's like that's literally all it
it's
is.
Just like a picture of a sign.
That maybe she was a bit paranoid. Like a lot of comments have been like, I have schizophrenia. This is the type of thing that I would notice. Like obviously we don't know why she chose that photo to post, but that there's been a lot of discussion that it might relate to her frame of mind at the time.
I feel like it's hard to say to, well, I mean, we can look at her Instagram, but like that's something I might post to my Instagram story. I wouldn't grid post it, but it's kind of cool to see and be like, hey, look, I'm at this cool Nike event where you're like consenting to being filmed. Seems kind of interesting, exclusive. So like I'd post it to my story or something, but I just don't post to my grid a lot either though.
Someone wrote in the comments of this photo too. She also has an account on Threads. She posted this same photo and the caption says, are they wider yet?
Yeah, so that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Unless are Nikes known to be narrow or something? Like narrow feet.
Or the only other thing is, because I know she posted the eye on the Instagram, maybe it's in like, is your are your eyes wider yet? Like that's maybe.
Like Big Brother type. Maybe think.
Yeah, yeah. Like have you opened your eyes yet, basically?
Yeah. So on November 9th, Hannah sent a Venmo payment to two people whose names the family didn't recognize. This information about the payment is from a Google document that's been compiled about the case. So it says, so this is like the note from Venmo, the transaction says Hannah Venmos Jonathan Taylor. And the note says like that handle Roland Wheels 88 is the username for a quote reading. And then this is like a note, I guess, by the people who made the document says the name Roland Wheels 88 is also shared by John the Boneless on TikTok. According to Reddit, John allegedly said later that he was unwittingly involved with Hannah through a guy she's with, who's a man named Bale, who's from South Africa. John apparently is semi-quadriplegic and suffers from a brain injury. He shared that Bale scammed him by hacking his Cash App and Venmo accounts and stole $1,000 from him. This has led Hannah's family to believe that Hannah was Venmoing Bale and not John. So that's like a total headache to me.
Yeah, I just feel like this is a case where there's just so many different parts. And that is just another one, like another wild part to the story. Like what kind of reading? Obviously, we don't know because Hannah is still missing. But yeah, it's just crazy.
Do either of them offer readings? Like,
I don't know.
So according to some online sources, on Sunday, November 10th, Hannah attended Christina Ricci's signing event for Cat Full of Spiders, Tarot Deck, and Guidebook. Hannah apparently went back to LAX on November 11th, and this is the date that her family had last heard from her.
So Hannah's mother asked her if she had arrived in New York, and Hannah wrote back, not yet. So after she arrived back at LAX, I've seen a screenshot. Basically, her phone was turned off. It hasn't been on again since November 11th. Her last location shows right in the middle of LAX, according to the screenshot. Her mother told Hawaii News Now she texted that a friend that she was scared and that she couldn't come back home. It was just really weird text. So there's a lot of screenshots of these texts floating around. They're all on the blog. Her mother and her sister both said the texts have said that that the texts didn't sound like they were written by Hannah, and they have concerns as to whether she was the one who actually sent the messages. They said she used words like hun, love, and babe, and that she doesn't usually use that terminology. Her sister Sydney said, I personally don't think that was my sister. She doesn't use those words. Even her close friends have said the same. Sydney has said that Hannah had a hotel room booked for her and tickets for an event in New York, but that her communication started getting fuzzy after she missed her flight. One of the last messages that was sent from her phone claimed she got sidetracked on her vacation because of a very intense spiritual awakening. So I'll just read out. This is one of the texts, and it's basically just Hannah speaking. The person isn't responding at the time. So this is just a screenshot. This is all Hannah. It says, hey, loves, I just finished a very intense spiritual awakening. I'm charging my phone and heading back to the airport to get to NYC. I might need some help getting there. It's a long story. I'll keep you posted. I think I still have my hotel room. Must see Tycho, and you, and then a blue heart. I'm going to see what I can do. Love you. Sorry for craziness. Was definitely intercepted. Hotel room is still active. Feel free to come and meet me, but I understand if you can't. I'll keep you posted. Hopefully I can get away there with my reservation issue. So maybe a little bit manic. It's, you know, a lot. Like, and these are all separate texts too. Like, there's probably 12 texts.
It's like an instant messenger almost.
Yeah. It's just basically she's having a conversation with herself in a whole bunch of messages. So these are the texts that Hannah sent Sydney, her sister, and these are where she kind of explains what the situation is. She says, I got hacked. Do you want to read Sydney's and I'll read Hannah's maybe? That might be the easiest way.
Sure. You want me to do purple?
So you do the purpley ones, the blue ones.
Okay.
All right, so I'll read out Hannah's parts and Stephanie will read Sydney's parts just so you can actually see that this is more of a conversation. So Hannah says, I got hacked.
Hacked by who?
Stripped of my identity, I can't fly.
Wait, what? How'd you get from LA to Maui?
Some weird shit, babe.
Explain so I can try to help.
I can't go to the PO. I'm assuming she means police.
Police, yeah.
Yeah.
Explain to me so that I can try to be of help to you.
I got tricked pretty much into giving away all of my funds for someone I thought I loved. I've been on the street. These are the screenshots. They may be out of order, but you'll get the gist of the conversation. It says, I just need to something in the Redwoods. It's been really scary.
Hold on. I'm going to call you. Let me see who I can reach out to in the LA area. You have no money.
I have a little left. I just want to get a bus or whatever straight to the Redwoods. Gonna look for work, but I haven't slept well for days. Please keep this to yourself for now and be discreet. I'm at LAX.
Yeah, girl, just stay there for a bit.
I might go to a homeless shelter.
You should go back to Maui.
I literally can't, love.
You shouldn't be spending money to continue traveling. You have a home and you need to go back to it. Yes, you can. Where's your ID?
I have it and my passport.
Go buy a plane ticket to Maui.
It's a really long story, hon.
I can't help if I don't know what's going on. If you have an ID, you could buy a ticket. Go to the counter at Hawaiian Airlines.
So then Hannah says, I have stuff of value.
You can go to the police, to the DMV. There are resources.
I just need to rest and I'll think better.
Yeah, I'm really confused.
But it's very complicated.
Did you get catfished?
Matrix underworld shit, girl. This is way beyond me.
Did you get catfished by some dude you were talking to on the internet?
No, we met. I can't explain all of it. Just please be open with this, please.
If you can't explain it then, how can I trust you if you can't tell me the whole story? I'm talking to a couple people in LA, but I need to know what's going on.
Deep hackers wiped my identity, stole all of my funds, and had me on a mindfuck since Friday.
They can't wipe your identity. Is that what they told you?
I'm just really scared, love, and the Redwoods if calling me, and I know I'm meant to be there. I'm being guided there like you have before. I risk my freedom if this goes wrong for me, hon.
It does sound like a Nigerian hacker, scammer type of way of speaking almost.
So that was kind of the last conversations that Hannah had with her family and her friends. Both the LAPD and the FBI are now involved. A photo of Hannah's handwritten New York City itinerary has been posted online. So I'll just read out some of it because it does show, I feel like, she was planning to go there. So it makes it very unusual that she didn't get on the flight. It says that she planned to check in and arrive at 9:28 a.m. at JFK, settle in and ease into the Big Apple and surrounding areas. She wanted to maybe go to the Brooklyn Folk Festival, Jeff Mills, which is a pioneer of techno, it says, Honey Dijon at the Brooklyn Store or Stonehouse. She has written that she wanted to spend time with her auntie, an open flow bond of our vibes, band or bond of our vibes. And then, so yeah, she's like, you know, done little drawings, little hearts. Like, she had plans for when she was in New York.
Webster Hall. I thought Webster Hall fucking closed. I guess it reopened.
What is that? Like a
club kind of. When I was in my earlier 20s, my friends used to like love going to Webster Hall, but I hated going there because, you know me, I'm not really a club New York City girly. I was like, this is too stressful and chaotic.
But even like she's got down for November 10th, AM question mark, open flow, go off of vibe and bucket list items. So
open flow, isn't that yoga?
I don't know. Well, it could be. Well, I could be because I wouldn't doubt that yoga is called open flow, but I kind of read it as just like do whatever she felt maybe. Like going with the flow that day. I don't know.
It says open. I just Googled it. It says open flow is an alignment based open level yoga class that's well suited for all students.
Ooh.
So maybe that.
So there was a sighting of Hannah on November 11th. Is it at Pico Metro Station near the Crypto.com Arena? So they haven't released the footage of Hannah, but I believe she has been captured on CCTV there. They haven't released the footage publicly, but Hannah's family said from the footage it was evident that she was, quote, not in good condition. Her aunt, Larry Pigeon, said she's not safe. She's not alone. So there's been a lot of people online talking about seeing Hannah, like people who are like, yep, absolutely spoke with her. This is an excerpt from someone who has alleged that they've seen Hannah. It says, I remember seeing her alongside an African-American male. Hannah had a suitcase with her. The male with her offered my son in his seat when we got on, and at the entrance we were coming back from the LA Rams game. I then began speaking to the male about the football game and about sea lane access to the game shuttle. During our conversation, Hannah did mention something about transportation where she's from. I asked where she was from and she quietly said Maui. She was wearing her hair down. She had glasses on and a dark-coloured sweater. When they got closer to the exit, the male did tell Hannah they were going to be getting off on Avalon exit. This is where they both got off and only the man said goodbye. He said, thank you for the information about the transportation history. And I said, no problem, just make sure you look it up. She said Hannah didn't really speak much. She seems really tired and out of it and disassociated, lost even. They didn't really seem to know each other. And that person has since clarified. We'll just find this message. The person has since clarified.
Oh, do you want me to read it?
Oh, have you got it? Oh, is that what you sent me?
Yeah. So the woman who made that comment posted on her own Facebook page and said, I would like to clarify that in my statement of my sighting of Hannah, I never stated that Hannah looked dissociated or lost even. When asked, I stated that she seemed just tired. If I ever felt that she was dissociated or lost, I would have been of some help to her while in the metro with her if I ever thought she seemed lost. Poorly worded sentence. Basically, they're just saying like, oh, if I thought she was lost or in trouble, I would have tried to help her.
Yeah.
She said, my son and I sat right behind her and we were all part of the conversation. She didn't say much, but she was engaged in the convo. Adding info about the transportation back home. When I asked her where she was from, she said that she was from Maui. Hope this helps clarify the above post. And then other people were commenting saying how like, so one, the family added that in, but then I guess this woman tried to say that in this Facebook group and like the admins of the group are deleting it. So I don't know, just kind of strange.
So in another random twist, I feel like there's so many random parts to this case. Hannah has seemingly popped up in a YouTube video online. This information about that is from The Sun, which I know is not the most reputable source, but they do have photos and screenshots of the video. It says, Online sleuths claim to have seen Hannah walking through a camera shot for the Nike advert taking place near the LA venue. So I'm assuming this is on the day that she posted the Nike stuff on her Instagram.
The sign did say you might be filmed.
Yeah. It says that she was wearing glasses and headphones. So like there is a photo of her. She looks like she's wearing a black hoodie. She does have big over-ear headphones on. Like there's nothing really out of the ordinary. It is Hannah. Like I'm pretty certain it's Hannah. And I think the family is certain it's her. But it's just random that she popped up on YouTube after she's missing.
And, like, she looks fine. She doesn't look disheveled.
Yeah. No.
She has, like, a serious face on because I'm sure she's just walking around, has headphones on. Nothing about it looks concerning.
And also it doesn't, like, there's no mention I've seen from this video that she was with anyone else. Like, I guess she could have met this person after, but, you know, it seems like she's alone. She's not talking to anyone. It's just, you know, a still of her from the video.
Yeah.
So Hannah's family have been very vocal. They've spoken to the media a lot. Her aunt said, so our mind is now going to, you know, abduction, and I hate to say the word, but trafficked. The aunt also said, we're doing the best that we can, but the family at this point is having to come to the reality that those things could be possible. She went on to say, Hannah, we love you. We're all here. Your mum's here. Your sister's here. Your father's here. The entire world is looking for you. If someone has Hannah, I want you to know that she's the kindest, most beautiful soul in the entire world. Please don't hurt her. Please just give us back to her. No questions asked. Just don't hurt her, please. So as we mentioned, the last time she spoke to her family was November 11th. It's now November 21. So she's been missing for 10 days in LA at this time. I guess the main theories in this case are that she has possibly had some type of mental health break or a psychosis, and basically it could even be like a fugue state where she doesn't know who she is for some reason. The other ones are that maybe there's some drugs involved in terms of those men that she was Venmoing maybe something like that happened. And I guess the other two theories is that she has been abducted now by one of maybe the men that she was with, or something has happened to her, or that she's voluntarily missing. I do feel like this seems to me to be some type of mental health break. I do believe she's probably still alive at this point. I know it's been a while since there has been a sighting of her, and I do wonder, I guess she could be, you know, living on the streets and just hasn't been found. But it does seem to me like leaving the airport, not making the flight that you were meant to make, then going back to the airport, and even the texts are interesting between the sister and her as well, you know, about I've lost my ID, all weird stuff happening. It seems to me like she may have had something going on.
It reminds me a little of the people gang stalking people almost, how they believe they're being followed or that people are always watching them. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Just how she was talking in those texts, like, oh, they wiped my identity, like deep hackers. It just sounds similar to the gang stalking stuff.
Underworld. Yeah.
Like mental break type thing, maybe drugs involved. But I also wouldn't be surprised if she got sucked into some like weird kind of cult type thing. Like we've seen people really get sucked into those. They get isolated from their families and just kind of disappear like this in a way.
And even things like, we don't know how long ago she broke up with her boyfriend. Was she still dealing with this breakup? Maybe traveling with him was triggering to her. These are the kind of things that we don't really have the answers to. Were they amicable? Were they not? Did that, you know, any of that impact what actually happened? Why did she leave the airport? You know, all those type of things. We just don't know. And obviously her family, I guess, don't know the answer to a lot of it either.
I'd imagine the family is trying to like push a certain narrative or change the story because I think a lot of families believe that if it seems like their loved one's actually in trouble or being kidnapped or held against their will, that the police and the FBI and people in general will be more willing to help look for them and will care more versus like, oh, she just went off on her own and is on this like drug bender or is having a mental health crisis. People, I think it's like not necessarily misconception, but I think that's something a lot of families believe, and that's why they hide information, it seems like.
And even for them to say that she wasn't in quote good condition, I do wonder why they haven't released at least a still of the CCTV footage if she was with someone else. Because, like, surely it would be helpful to know who that man is. Maybe like they do know, and they just yeah. Well, we know that according to the lady on the train, he was African American. That's all I've seen. I haven't seen any other information, and the family haven't even confirmed that. They just said that she wasn't alone.
But even so the places that they listed that she was, like the mall, she went back to the airport. Also, it's like L.A. There's cameras everywhere. The police, if they really are like actively investigating, must have more footage of her out and about.
I agree. And I just wonder why they haven't at least released a photo. And even I've seen some comments, like this is one of those ones where there's a lot of online speculation. There's a photo of her walking through the airport with like a, looks like a, almost like a purpley colored suitcase. And apparently the family like a roller are asking suitcase. that be taken down. And everyone's like, but why? Maybe. And people are now speculating that she took someone else's bag. Like, obviously we don't know why, but like things like that are interesting. There's a lot of noise in the case. And I do agree with you that the family is pushing a narrative, and I totally understand why, but it's creating a lot of speculation in the case.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, you want to get into the update?
Yeah, so I think I've spoken about it in the past, but which I know it sounds kind of morbid, but some medical examiners have public databases where you can go and look, and like it says the deaths in the area, and you know, you can look up celebrities and different things like that. So I was actually looking at the Los Angeles medical examiner the other day, and this name popped up and it said Ryan Kobayashi. And I'm like, that's a very unusual last name. Surely this probably has to be related to Hannah. So I started Googling, and then I found out her father was Ryan. Anyway, then it all pretty quickly came out that this man who was on the database was Hannah's father. Her family released a statement through the RAD movement, who is kind of their advocate at the moment. I'll read out some of it, but it says, basically, the family of Hannah is urgently pleading with the public to maintain focus on the search for her. Hannah is still missing and is believed to be in imminent danger. Says the family endured a devastating tragedy today after tirelessly searching throughout LA for 13 days. Hannah's father, Ryan, tragically took his life. This loss has compounded the family's suffering immeasurably. And basically it goes on to say that they need, you know, people's support more now than ever. If you see Hannah, please call 911. Please obtain a photo. Your prompt action is crucial. So I feel like this was such shocking news for this family who were in LA searching for Hannah. The cause of death has been confirmed as suicide. The LAPD told ABC that his body was found at Sunday at around 4 a.m. on Century Boulevard, which is a business near LAX. And so when you look it up, the address where he was found, it's like a Hilton hotel and there's a parking structure. I was looking at the street view yesterday just to kind of get an idea of what the area was like, but it's basically it's at the entry to LAX. So like there's even a street view where you can see the arrivals and departures signs. So, you know, you drive in there, like it's a very, very densely populated, busy area. The medical examiner, as I said, did confirm it was suicide and the cause was multiple blunt force traumatic injuries, and they said that he was found in a parking lot. So this basically indicates that he likely jumped from maybe a roof, or it would have been a roof, I guess, either from the parking lot or the hotel and, sorry, the parking structure or the hotel and landed in a parking lot below. So very, very sad. It's caused a lot of discussion online. People are like, why would he possibly do this? His daughter might still be alive. People are like questioning, does he know more that the family aren't saying, you know, and I'm not condoning this. This is just what's been said online. Things like, does he have some guilt? Could he be involved? We know in the last episode we spoke about how Hannah wrote in the text that she'd been ripped off by someone who she thought she loved. So now there's all these online speculation that maybe the dad is the one who ripped her off. They were estranged too at one point, which hasn't really helped the speculation. People are like, maybe he feels guilty. It's just added another layer of complexity and another layer of noise to the case, which they probably really didn't need.
It's sad because I really don't think he had anything to do with anything. And there was already kind of conspiracy theories about this case since it is rather mysterious what's going on. But I just feel sad for them because to me, it doesn't make sense that he had anything to do with anything.
No.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it was just that he felt guilty because they were estranged at some point and maybe didn't have the best relationship, and now she's missing. And I saw some people saying that they saw him at, like, the rallies or the searches, and that he was just, like, very distraught and upset and hadn't been sleeping. So I think all of that kind of compounded could make someone want to take their life. But I hate to see like all these crazy conspiracy theories. It makes me so irritated.
One other thing I've seen a lot mentioned online, and it's just wild what people think, is that there's some type of cover up, that he was murdered, that he knew too much about what Hannah was involved in and someone pushed him.
Yeah, like what?
I'm like, what actually could she possibly be involved in that someone is going to push him from a roof of a building at 4 a.m. in the morning?
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. So Hannah's aunt did speak to USA Today about Ryan's death, and she said he just died of a broken heart. Being on the streets and seeing what the possibilities of where his daughter could be, no sleep, the speculating rumors that are going around, full stop. So basically she's insinuating that the speculation led to him not being able to cope. She said it just took a toll on him. She said, this is a man who just had a mental breakdown from sleep depression. Suicide is not something that was even spoken of. It wasn't even a concept that we would think would happen. And now we have suffered two tragedies. We're hanging on by a thread, and we just need the search to continue because there's still hope for Hannah. Then she goes on to say that basically the family really need kindness now more than ever. And, they don't want the public to try and investigate and speculate. She said, Hannah is still missing and we have hope, and we need to make sure that Ryan's death wasn't in vain. So it's an unbelievable update. Like, I don't think anyone could have ever picked that this was what was going to happen. I did wonder at the time if this will affect the outcome of the case. I did think when we recorded that Hannah was probably still alive, maybe suffering some type of mental health break or some addiction issues. But now I wonder if she is alive and she knows that her father has passed away, if that may influence what her next moves are, if she's able to, make decisions for herself. I just wonder if that will, I don't know. I'm more confused now. Like, I thought she was probably alive. Now I wonder, A, she hasn't come forward, even though it's been days since her father's passed away. So does that indicate she isn't alive and can't come forward? Or, I don't know, it just raises a whole bunch of new questions.
Yeah, and I get, like, it's one thing to speculate and talk about stuff like we do here. We'll say theories and stuff. But I just feel like there's a different line between, the common sense average things that we talk about and some of the conspiracy theories that people online come up with. Conspiracy theories are from not, like, influencers is probably the wrong word, maybe podcasters, or not even like podcasters, maybe YouTubers, TikTokers. Yeah. Like, they just, they're saying these crazy things for more views and more downloads and to get more people sucked in, and basically so they can profit off of it. Where, like, essentially, yes, do we profit off of true crime? Yeah, but I don't think we're, like, pushing these crazy conspiracy theories. Like, I would never encourage people to bother the family or to just, like, say these outlandish lies to bother the family. And it's like just no human decency to me. It's very sad.
Yeah. And I feel like to a lot of the cases where people become very invested, like, I feel like in Hannah's case there are, in the Delphi case there are, and for the people, some of the people who become very invested, they actually take it upon themselves to contact the family, to insert themselves personally into a case. It's not just, chatting about it with a friend, or, they actually insert themselves and make it worse for the people who are actually involved. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I have no doubt that, like, based on what I've read online after Ryan's death, I have no doubt that there's some people who are just out there making wild accusations against the family. And now, like what they've said, they've had two tragedies in the space of 2 weeks, essentially. It's just horrific that some people think that that's all right because they know everything about, what's going on with Hannah and Ryan, clearly when no one else does. So,
yeah, just gross behavior.
It has now been around 2.5 weeks since Hannah was last heard from. She was last heard from on the 11th. I believe she arrived in LA on the 8th of November. So it's been almost 3 weeks since she arrived in LA. The only other thing really that we've learned more about her disappearance are about the Venmo payments. We did mention them in the last episode that she made one payment for a reading, but a screenshot of her actual Venmo has been released. And so it's got, she says she paid Jonathan Taylor for a reading. And then the next one says she paid Veronica Alamandarez. And underneath that, it's got like a bow and arrow emoji. It doesn't say what she paid her for, but that they were the two payments that she made on November 9, which was when she was meant to be flying to New York. So I don't know. I can't even begin to imagine what the bow and arrow would mean. Obviously, maybe some private message for Veronica, but interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, sometimes people just use random emojis because you have to put something.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The other thing that I've seen brought up a lot is that people have kind of dug into Hannah's social media and her online presence, and they've found that she actually liked or interacted with a lot of twin flame type groups and accounts.
That's so funny because that's literally what I was thinking of when we talked about it, when I said I feel like she could have gotten sucked into like some type of cult. Yeah. I was thinking of the twin flame ones.
So like a lot of people like maybe, and you know when she always spoke about the Redwoods as well, like so maybe she's somehow joined some cult that she found online maybe. But that's a lot of discussion that I've seen, is that people are wondering if this twin flame interest of Hannah's may have played a part in her disappearance. But yeah, so that's about it up to date with her case. I hope they get some resolution either way. They need it in terms of what happened to Hannah, especially, and even just the things like the logistics of Ryan passing away in LA. They're from Hawaii. There's all these different things, like even costs. It's just an extra absolute nightmare thing for them to have to deal with when they've already dealing with one of the hardest things that they would have ever come across in their lives.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
After we recorded last week, we gave you some updates. The developments that have happened this week is that on Monday, so we're now Thursday there, on Monday, December 2, police in LA revealed that Hannah had actually been spotted crossing the border into Mexico. She crossed the border on November 12th, so quite a while before they released this information. They said that there was no foul play suspected and that she was alone when she crossed. We've also learned that Hannah's luggage went on to New York City after she intentionally missed the flight on November 8th. So just as a quick timeline refresher, basically she flew from Hawaii November 8th, missed the flight, left LAX, and then she ended up going back to the airport. And the reason that she went back that we know now is to get her luggage. She went back there on November 11th to get the bag. So a few days after she missed the flight. She apparently spoke to an American Airlines ticketing agent on November 11th between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. That same day, Hannah used her passport, so she had a passport with her, to purchase a bus ticket for a destination near the California-Mexico border. So there's actually a photo of her. She's holding up the passport. The photo, like whoever has taken this photo has circled the passport. So she had that with her. She, like, this indicates that maybe this was the plan all along. Police believe that
she still
Hannah,
has that purple suitcase that the family was like, delete this photo for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Police believe that Hannah has now left her phone somewhere behind in California and that she doesn't have it with her. I don't know why they believe this. Maybe, like, I guess it could still be turned off, but, you know, they're saying they believe she left it behind. So Hannah caught the bus to the border, and she was basically seen crossing into Mexico at 12:13 p.m. on November 12th. So the police said the footage clearly shows Hannah crossing the United States border on foot into Mexico. She was alone with her luggage. So I think it's also really important to note that November 12th was the day she crossed, and this was the day that LAPD were actually assigned her case. Some people say her family made the missing persons report on the 11th, but it wasn't given to a detective till the 12th. Some people say it was the 12th that they made the missing persons report. But either way, by the time it happened, she was already in Mexico. So it's kind of a very interesting timing. Like, they're like, she didn't do anything wrong. By the time she was missing, they reported her missing, she's already left the country. Police have said that she's classed as being voluntarily missing, and they will not release the footage of her crossing the border because she's a private citizen and she hasn't done anything wrong criminally. So they're saying there's no reason why would we release CCTV of someone, you know, just going about their legal daily business. There's no issue with it, so we're not releasing it. They have also said they will be notified if or when she comes back into the US. So basically, as soon as she uses her passport, they will be notified. Hannah's family released a statement after this, and they said, "We are deeply grateful for the urgency and dedication law enforcement has shown in investigating Hannah's disappearance. Our family remains hopeful that Hannah is safe and urges everyone to continue the search. The search is far from over, and we are committed to doing everything to bring her home safely." So that was Monday. We are now at Thursday. For a little while, I have been seeing some kind of rumors online about Hannah being involved in like a green card or an immigration scam. And just yesterday, it seemed to really hit the mainstream media. There's an article from LA Magazine, which I've posted some information from on our socials. I'll read some of this. Basically, I've done a summary because I feel like it is confusing. Like, people are like, what? I don't understand. Can you explain it? So in a nutshell, Hannah and her ex traveled to New York, or meant to travel to New York. We knew that. Hannah was on the flight with her ex. He's a man named Eamon Miranda. Basically, it has emerged, or it is alleged, that Eamon and Hannah both married an Argentinian person. Hannah married a man named Alan, and Eamon married a woman named Mariana. Except Alan and Mariana are actually the couple. So it's kind of saying that Hannah married the man, Eamon married the woman, so that this couple could stay in America together. It was basically a scam marriage on both of their parts, and they were meant to receive some financial compensation for it. So obviously, we are thinking that Hannah was perhaps scammed out of the money. Maybe the ex took all the money, or they weren't paid the money. And this has to do with the text that she sent before she disappeared. I'm paraphrasing, but do you remember when she wrote the text? And it was basically like, I have been scammed by someone I thought I loved.
Yeah.
So it's thought that all four of these people were on the flight from Hawaii to LAX, and it appears that Hannah was the only one who didn't then go on to New York City, apparently. There is a photo that's been released from Alan, so the man that she married, the Argentinian man that she married, his Instagram, I think, and it looks like a wedding photo. They are clearly in Hawaii. They've got lace around their neck. They're both wearing white. It almost reminds me of the Lori Vallow wedding photos, you know, when she married
Chad. I thought the same thing. I was like, that is Lori Vallow's photo.
So, like, it's very clearly Hawaii. The background looks like volcanic. It looks like Hawaii. It's a photo that he posted, I guess, to make it seem like the wedding was legit. Apparently, it's all been taken down from his social media now. This is information from LA Mag about how they discovered this maybe alleged scam. It says the scam was uncovered by Hannah's mother, who discovered immigration documents in her home in Hawaii, in Hannah's home in Hawaii, that listed an immigration attorney. It says the attorney was not cooperative with the mum
and her mother then turned over documents to the FBI and the LAPD. On Wednesday night, so just yesterday, her family released a statement saying they have not verified the marriage or the photos of the marriage, and those photos have since been removed by the groom from his social media. They also confirmed that Hannah's mother turned over the alleged information to law enforcement immediately upon receipt, and they have an LA attorney who is representing the family now. So that's kind of interesting development that, A, they need an attorney. I'm mind blown about this actually being true. When I was reading it, I'm like, come on, this is getting ridiculous now. This is one of those cases where people are going wild and crazy and making up things, but this does seem to possibly be what is actually happening. So Hannah thought she was going to get X amount of money for marrying this guy. It didn't happen for whatever reason. Maybe her ex took the money, maybe the people didn't pay, and now she's basically taken off to Mexico.
Yeah, the whole thing's very confusing because it's like the plan didn't work out, if that's the story. So then she was like, well, I'm just gonna fuck off to Mexico now. Yeah. Like,
so it is kind of interesting too that, like, the family have said, again paraphrasing, but they've said basically along the lines of, it's very out of character for Hannah to disappear and to be out of communication with her family. But after it has been revealed that she's probably in Mexico, this is a quote from an article that I took. It says, law enforcement sources also told NBC that this is not the first time Hannah has gone missing, as there have been other incidents previously. The sources did not elaborate on when or where those occurred. So this isn't out of character for her. She has been known to go off grid or go missing for certain amounts of time. Obviously, we don't know how long. It probably might have been a few days. We don't know if it was any longer, but she has a history of acting like this. So a lot of people have started to kind of side-eye the family. There are two GoFundMes for the family, which now there's a lot of questions about what will happen to the donations for those. The main one is it's organized by Hannah's sister Sydney on behalf of Brandy, who is their mother, and it's raised nearly $50,000. The other one is it's actually disabled, the other one now. So, but the other one was organized on behalf, the beneficiary was Lee Gianna, I think is her name, and that is Ryan Kobayashi's fiance or partner. So Ryan is obviously Hannah's father who took his life while they were in LA. So this smaller GoFundMe raised $8,000 before it was disabled. It was originally made to assist in the search for Hannah, but after Ryan died, they changed the goal of the GoFundMe for the money to get Ryan back to Hawaii, which I guess is understandable. That would be a big expense. But the main one for Hannah with nearly $50,000, it says, we have still not even been able to get any answers from LAPD or LAX. We need to push harder. This is what they're going to use the money for: food and hydration for search teams, transportation for our family, on-site support for our family. There is one from an update from Sydney.
When is that update from, though? Because, like, they don't need search teams.
No. So I think this was the original. This is the original. Yeah. That was what I've just read out is what they were originally going to use the money for. As of December 4th, so just yesterday, Sydney has written an update, and basically she says that you did help pay for food and hydration. It says that they were given an update. It says, my family and I are extremely concerned. This type of behavior is not aligned with Hannah's character and pattern. The LAPD have not shared any evidence with us. But despite them saying that, in the press conference that the LAPD gave earlier this week, they said they had been in daily communication with the family. So someone is not telling the truth.
They're in communication with them, but not telling them anything, really. Like,
yeah.
If Hannah wants to be away from them, like, the police probably are like, we're not getting involved in, like, your family drama business. We have proof she went over the border of her own will. That's that.
Yeah. So then she goes on to say, my sister's purported voluntary disappearance. So she's put voluntary in parentheses, so she's doesn't really seem like she believes it's voluntary, is shocking to all of us, and we're extremely concerned for her safety while we grieve my father's loss. We have therefore hired an attorney and a private investigator, and we will need legal investigative services in Mexico in order to locate her. In addition to the expenses associated with our continued search efforts, we now also anticipate significant legal costs. So, you know, a GoFundMe is one of those things. People can donate for whatever reason they want. There has been a lot of questions about should this money for the GoFundMe be refunded. I don't think the family knew all along that she was in Mexico. I do wonder if they knew a little bit earlier than it was released to the public. I just think, you know, like one person donated $3,000 to the GoFundMe. It's just one of those things, I guess.
That much money and just give away.
Yeah. Like I guess with a GoFundMe, it's kind of buyer beware. If you want to donate to something, you have to be aware that it may not be used for the purposes that they are saying, or that the purpose might change. I don't know. I just feel like if people donated, they will probably be happy for their money to still be used in the search for Hannah. I don't know. It's just a lot of online discussion about if it's some type of fraud that's being committed. Did the family know more? And even for them to say, would she say this type of behavior is not aligned with Hannah's character, when it clearly is. If she's been missing before, and do you know what I mean? And she made posts apparently about wanting to go off the grid and wanting to kind of, you know, live a different life. It's just a lot of questions being raised about that.
Granted, the family has been a little strange about some things, and people are like, they should give back the money. I don't think they're going to give back the money if they haven't given it back already, since it seems like they're still going to carry on searching for her. But I mean, like, if this happened to my family member, obviously I'd want more answers too, whether it's they didn't see the signs or they were like blissfully ignorant to the fact that she could do something like this, or maybe it really was just like out of the blue to them. Obviously, if I was them, I'd want answers too, but it's just, the whole thing is very bizarre.
Yeah. I just, like, I'm figuring surely this may be the last update we hear. I don't know. I guess the only other thing that could happen is that she's found – well, I shouldn't actually say the only other thing that could happen, because last week I never would have thought about the green card. You know, this is what's going to be popping up next. But, you know, in terms of main updates, maybe she'll be found, maybe she'll come back. I don't know. But it's just one of those cases where it's mind-blowing.
And I did see people being like, wow, how could she still not come forward after her dad killed himself? She might not even know. Like,
I know. If she doesn't have a phone.
If she really just went off the grid without a phone.
If she's really like gone into, you know, the middle of Mexico, she could be like in some commune or something like that where there's no internet. She may not know. And I do also feel that Hannah seems to be quite estranged from a lot of her family. We know for a while at least she was estranged from her dad. I don't know if that was part of the reason for his suicide, that he felt guilt over their estrangement before. You know, maybe he thought that she had passed away and that's why, you know, maybe that was part of it. But I feel like also she doesn't seem to have that had that close of a relationship with a lot of them. So she's maybe doesn't know they're looking for her. I also do agree. It's, you know, possible that she doesn't know this kind of mess that is going on at the moment.
Yeah, I don't like, because I've also seen people kind of villainizing her for her dad killing himself. We don't know anything about the dad or their relationship. He could have been depressed and had suicidal ideation already, and maybe this just kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I just think it's shitty that people are solely blaming her. We don't know anything about their lives or their relationship.
Yeah, exactly. So a very interesting case, wild, one that is just stranger than it, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction sometimes, and that is absolutely the case in this one.
Yeah. And last comment, she also might just hate her family. You never know.
Yeah,
like they might be like, where is she? We love her. How could she do this? She might hate them. She might want to get away from them, want nothing to do with them.
So there is a quote,
I guess we'll see.
There's a quote from Sydney, the sister, again, after all this marriage information has come out, and she said, "We're just as confused, just as frustrated, more than anything now." She went on to say, "I can't stress enough how loved you are, how supported you are. We're really worried about you. No matter what situation you're in, you always have a home to come to." So, yeah, something that might be ongoing for a while.
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Hannah Kobayashi updates, like maybe finally the end to this story, but I think
I feel
not.
Like she's the gift that doesn't stop giving at this point.
I know. As soon as I think like it's done, a week later, it's like, oh, there's something else.
I guess the only thing is she might actually talk eventually. But anyway, yeah, I figure surely this is going to be it in terms of there surely cannot be much more actual crazy news to come out.
Yeah, I don't know though, because...
Who knows?
I wouldn't be surprised either way, honestly. And we're also going to talk about the CEO, United Healthcare, Luigi shooting, which is like a big story. It's a long one. We thought about doing it as a regular episode, but it just feels safer to do it on Patreon for one thing, because it's very politically charged, rightfully so, but feels safer to do on Patreon without having randos come in shit all over us or something.
I feel like too this episode, this Patreon episode, is going to be longer than our main episode that we'll record after. So this is a good perk to being a Patreon. Sometimes you do get an extra big episode.
Yeah. Especially this one. Mm. I feel like people will be interested in it. Mm-hmm. But it's also, we wanted to do it on Patreon because I feel like there's going to be more and more updates like all the time. So by the time we record this and get it as a regular episode, there'll probably be so much more going on.
Yeah.
Okay. So first we're going to start with the Hannah updates. So she's been found alive in Mexico, which, I mean, I guess we all kind of assume she was alive in Mexico because she went there willingly. So her family released a statement about that that says, "We're incredibly relieved and grateful that Hannah has been found safe. This past month has been an unimaginable ordeal for our family, and we kindly ask for privacy as we take the time to heal and process everything we've been through. We want to express our heartfelt thanks to everyone who supported us during this difficult time. Your kindness and concern have meant the world to us." It's totally normal to ask for privacy, but after being such a big in-the-media case with the whole family like talking all the time and all this drama, it's like, now you all want privacy.
Plus, I think a lot of people are cranky about that. Like, don't get me wrong, they are entitled to privacy, but they did also ask for and were given a lot of money from people. So I know that's a whole other discussion in this case, that you can request a refund from the GoFundMe before, I think, December 18. The family have apparently offered to refund the money. I feel like, I don't know, like I know they had expenses. And as we mentioned last week, there's two GoFundMes, one to get the father's remains back to Hawaii, which I think is totally justified. It was an under $10,000 GoFundMe before it was closed, whereas this one is probably over $50,000. I don't know. It's an interesting debate about what they should do with the money. Should it all be refunded? Should people have to request a refund?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because like, can't they just be like, okay, refund all of it?
Like, and I do, like, don't get me wrong. I know they had expenses. They had to get to LA. They were there for weeks. They probably had, you know, private investigators, you know, even things like hotels, flights, all that cost money. But I don't know. It's just, you know, we now know she left willingly. I suspect they probably knew earlier than was made public that she left willingly. So it's just, I guess it's one of those things in terms of beware when you're donating to any GoFundMe that you might not know what the outcome will be.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably do the same thing and hope that I get to keep some of the money. So Lieutenant Doug Oldfield, as part of the LA Police's missing person unit, told people that authorities were separately notified by their attorney that Hannah was located on Wednesday. At the time, it was just a few hours ago. He said, "We've not seen her, and at this point, we have no reason to compel her to see us." Still, he notes, "It's a big news story, so she may decide to come with a lawyer, but she's not obligated to speak to us. We'll see what happens next."
I do find it interesting that he's basically saying there's no need for her to, or, you know, she's not required to speak to the police, but then there's more and more information coming out about this alleged marriage scam. So I wonder if she will be charged
I feel like that's more like a FBI.
Yeah.
A different type of
police. Yeah, definitely not the LAPD missing person. Yeah, definitely not that. But maybe she will be facing some charges because we have learned more about the marriage scam. I think we spoke about it last week, how it had just kind of started coming out that she was on the flight and they'd each married these Argentinian people. But basically today it's come out in the media that Hannah and her ex-boyfriend and their two new partners, I guess, were planning to fly to New York to create proof that their marriages were real. So they were going to go there, take photos at places like the Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, and Central Park just to make their marriages seem more legitimate so that they would have some documented proof of these happy couples, if they were ever investigated. It's also been alleged that Alan, he is the Argentinian man that Hannah apparently married, had given her $15,000 so that he could get a green card, and he allegedly promised her double that again after the immigration documents allowing him to stay in the US were issued. So it seems like this whole thing, she was going to be making around $30,000. I don't know how long it takes to get those immigration documents. I don't know what will happen for him now. I don't know. I wonder if something happened and she kind of reneged and that's why she left and didn't want to go to New York, didn't want to continue with this scam marriage. I hope we find out more about the actual scenario.
I'm also curious how she got wrapped into this. Do they know these people well? Were they friends? Did they just find them online? Like, how did she get sucked into this?
I have read that her ex, Eamon, is kind of the ringleader.
The facilitator.
In this. Yeah. So he kind of, and obviously alleged, I should say, we don't know, but from the comments I've read online, he kind of orchestrated the whole situation. She went along with it for $30,000. Seems like she maybe got half of it and for some reason didn't get the rest. So she didn't continue on with it.
And I think we talked about it a little last time. It just makes me wonder what happened, that she split from the plan what happened, and how you were saying she was saying someone scammed her out of money and just how her identity was stolen. I'm just curious about what happened and what was going on.
It seems like such a half-assed scam because surely if immigration, I don't know what it's called there, but if your immigration department was going to look into it, they could look and see that Alan and Mariana, I think is her name, were on a flight together to New York. There would be ways to track their relationship and to kind of prove that this was a scam. If they wanted to do it properly, they shouldn't have all been on the same flight. It's just, it seems a bit ridiculous. Maybe they just thought they weren't going to be looked into that deeply and now it's everywhere. But anyway. It's a good outcome in terms of Hannah being safe. Obviously, it was horrible for her family what happened with her dad. We don't know what factors kind of contributed to that, though, but it's just one of those stories. When we post about it, every message we get, people are like, this is insane. Some people are shocked that she was found alive, and after her dad did pass away, I wondered if that would change what happened, but seems not. She's fine. Wonder if she'll come back. I wouldn't be in a hurry to come back if I was her to face the music.
Yeah. I was saying maybe that's also why the police are like, well, she doesn't need to talk to us, trying to act chill.
Yeah, trying to lull her into a sense of security. So she does, flood on back to the US and then they
And where are all these other people that were involved? Like the ex, the people that they married. What are they still actually married?
It's just so ironic that they set up this whole thing to be able to stay in the country and did all these, secret marriages, and now it's just all over the media.
I wonder if they screwed her over.
Yeah.
If they screwed her over there, and then she was like, well, fuck y'all, I'm going to make this huge story, get all this attention on this whole thing and screw all of you over. So yeah, that is really it. I guess we'll see if anything else happens, if she comes back, if she does a tell-all.
Yeah.
She ends up on Dr. Phil. Who knows?
There's been lots of comments like, I can't wait for this to be a Netflix documentary. I would watch it.
Yeah. A Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
We also have another final, we say this every time, Hannah update.
Yeah, so the update is that we all probably know anyway, but Hannah has returned to the US. So the last update that we gave in our last episode was that they knew she was in Mexico and that she was basically went there of her own accord and she was safe. On Monday, December 16th, so just earlier this week, Lieutenant Doug Oldfield spoke to people and he said that he received notification that Hannah crossed yesterday, which is December 15th, so as in that's crossed the border back into the US. He said that she presented herself for entry and added that she appeared to be in good health and did not appear to be in any distress. I have also read that she contacted an attorney from Orange County and that attorney went into Mexico and crossed the border back with her. So I guess it gives you an indication that she is now aware of what basically the pandemonium that she's caused. But she released a statement and she said, at daybreak on December 15th, I crossed the border back into the United States. My focus is now on my healing, my peace, and my creativity. I am deeply grateful to my family and everyone who has shown me kindness and compassion during this time. She also said, I was unaware of everything that was happening in the media while I was away, and I'm still processing it all. I kindly asked for respect for myself, my family, and my loved ones as I navigate through this challenging time. Thank you for your understanding. So they also released a photo of Hannah cuddling, you know, embracing her aunt, Larry Pigeon, who we spoke about in the other episodes. Which is an interesting choice of photo. There was some disconnect between Larry and Sydney, who was Hannah's sister. They were kind of on opposing sides, it seems. There was a lot of back and forth about why Sydney had the GoFundMe when Larry was the one who was kind of spearheading the search. But in the photo, Hannah looks well. She's like kind of smiling. They're cuddling in each other. There's been a lot of discussion about the statement that she made, as in she didn't acknowledge her father's death at all, like as if you guys would all know, but her father took his life during the search for Hannah. So it's just like, me, my privacy, please respect me. It was a lot of me, which I don't know. It's just an interesting statement. It kind of, like, a lot of people have said they think it's tone deaf, and I do agree to a point, but we also don't know the dynamics in their relationship. Maybe she was totally estranged from her father and he was a jerk to her, so there could be reasons why she didn't acknowledge that in the statement.
I feel like she probably just chose to keep it vague, because it's like, oh, if you get into one thing and then you don't, like, then you start having to like cherry pick what you address. So I don't really think it's shocking that she didn't go into anything, especially since she does have an attorney now who probably also told her to keep it vague. I do think throwing in that she's focusing on her creativity was the most insane part of it, because we're like, girl, like, what do you even mean focusing on your creativity? Okay. Doesn't seem like a great thing to be saying right now, but.
The lieutenant also did say that the case is closed. So that does, I guess, as we mentioned, he's a missing persons detective. So maybe something will come of these immigration scam charges. I have read they're very hard to prosecute. So maybe nothing will come. I feel like the most likely update we'll get is that Hannah does some type of tell-all, like an interview with someone eventually.
Yeah. And I do wonder, has anybody even been able to prove if they were actually legally married? Because someone pointed out, and I thought this we were recording, but I didn't know the logistics of it, so I didn't even bring it up. You can't just get married to someone from out of the country and everyone's like, okay, like, there's stuff you have to pass, like visit,
you have to live together, and like you have to have proof of a legitimate,
I feel like they weren't even actually married. It maybe they were just trying to set it somehow up. Or like set her up for something somehow, and that's why she left then.
Been radio silence from the other three involved in the marriage. So her ex and the Argentinian couple, there's been absolutely nothing confirmed, which I don't you know, doubt why, that, you know, I can understand why they're not talking. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to incriminate themselves. But yeah, maybe eventually one of them will talk. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm sure there will be more eventually.
No doubt.
That's really it for her story so far. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being Patreon subscribers. Love you guys. Peace out. Stay safe. Bye. We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.